You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Hey, what's good? Welcome back to another edition of the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I am Blair Angulo. I hope everyone enjoyed the College Football Playoff Championship. We're officially in the offseason, but it's not the offseason. We're going to keep going over at 24/7 Sports. We've got National Signing Day coming up in February, a lot to be decided still. And we're bringing on Mike Roach, the recruiting editor for Horns 247, to discuss Steve Sarkisian's first few days in Austin, Texas. Mike, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm good, Blair. How are you?
Not too bad. I see you. We're doing a little Zoom action. You've got a playoff beard. I was joking with you earlier that you look like one of those defensemen, right? The guys that you don't want in the penalty box.
Yeah, I try to keep it long during the winter, keep my face warm, and then we'll trim it up during the summer. So the wife likes it. So I try to stay in compliance with that.
I mean, playoff beards typically mean, right, that the players aren't shaving until they're eliminated. The offseason is here, and you're going strong, my friend. You've got Steve Sarkisian news, right? And we'll touch on that. Texas landed its big commitment earlier this week from Armani Winfield. We'll talk about that in the 2022 class. And then you were out and about last weekend at a big 7-on-7 tournament there in the Dallas area. Let's start with Steve Sarkisian to Texas. We haven't had you on since the news dropped. First of all, what was your initial reaction? And from a recruiting standpoint, what did you think the reaction of recruits, their parents, their families, their coaches, and how this was received there in the state of Texas?
When questions about Tom Herman's job originally came up, it became very clear that the target was going to be Urban Meyer. I was always really dubious of the fact that they were going to be able to get Urban Meyer. I just thought it was going to be too difficult. And I know, so, like, back in December, I saw somebody tweet, like, Texas is going to shoot for Urban Meyer and end up with Steve Sarkisian. And I started thinking to myself, that's not that bad. I'm of the opinion, you know, there's an opinion here in Texas that you can't hire coordinators to do this job. And yet Lincoln Riley was a coordinator. Ryan Day was a coordinator. Dabo Swinney was a wide receivers coach. I mean, it happens all over college football. I think if you hire the right guy who can put together, and the most important thing is putting together the right staff, you know, I think that that's what really matters. So I was always on board kind of with Sarkisian as the guy, like maybe the second candidate after Urban Meyer, and had always heard really good things about him as a recruiter and continue to. And, you know, I don't know that a rollout could have gone any better either with, you know, having the announcement, having the week lead up to the national championship game, and then the performance that he put on in the national championship game. You know, I mean, it was enough to land him a recruit at halftime of the game, who basically called and said, all right, I've seen enough. I want to be part of this in Austin. So yeah, I mean, the reaction's been really positive. You know, over the weekend at that tournament, I was asking guys, and, you know, Blair ran into a couple of your guys from the islands and from Utah, from LA, and they were almost more positive, I think, probably because there's a lot more familiarity out there with Sarkisian from his time at Washington and USC. But yeah, it's a new day here in Texas, and I think there's a lot of excitement there.
There's always a honeymoon period when a new coach arrives at a new destination from a recruiting standpoint, right? It seems like they can do no wrong, and it seems like every offer is monumental, and especially now that Sarkisian's going to be taking over and bringing in his own guys and bringing in a staff that's going to be out and sending out offers. I think it's going to be very important for him in the next few months to capitalize on that honeymoon period, right? I think when your name is hot and when I think the news cycle is still spinning positively your way, you have to capitalize on that. And I think obviously his recruiting process and how he approaches players in the state of Texas will be under a microscope. It's going to be obviously under the magnifying glass. But I always look, and you mentioned it there, I always look at Sarkisian's impact out west, right? And what he was able to do to attract talent to Alabama via Bryce Young, a former five-star quarterback from Southern California who, you know, essentially went to Tuscaloosa because Sarkisian was going to be his play caller. I think his potential out west is going to be a big component for Texas moving forward. They already have a guy like Bijan Robinson on campus who can be an example of what a player from the West Coast can go and do in that conference and in Austin. You mentioned his ties in the Pacific Northwest. He was a former coach at Washington. Also, the quarterback at BYU and Utah right now is seeing a boon of talent. There's possibly two, maybe three first-round draft picks out of the state of Utah in this upcoming NFL draft. So I think that's going to be a key component for Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, talking to the big-name guys who are out here in Dallas, C.J. Williams, four-star receiver from Modern Day, Relique Brown, the five-star running back from Modern Day, and Larry Turner Gooden, the four-star DB, I mean, all those guys were very, very high on Sark. And whether it be from his time out west or his time recruiting out west for Alabama, he certainly has a type of cachet out there that resonates right now. And like I said, I mean, I just don't know that it could have gone better than him being center stage Monday night in the national title game, calling that offensive masterpiece. And I think that it's going to be, like you said, now is the time to really, I wrote this yesterday on the site. Now is the time to really go big game hunting, because the buzz around him right now, unless he, wins multiple titles at Texas, is likely never going to be as big as it is right now. And so, I think it's time you take some shots. You go after Quinn Ewers again and you try to win him back. I think you take some shots at rivals. You go after guys like Luther Burden who are committed to Oklahoma and at least try to make them a little bit uncomfortable. Not saying you're going to get those guys, but now's the time to really get it out there and get the word out that, hey, this what you saw Monday night is coming to Austin, at least the offense. And, we want you to be a part of it and you could be part of the turnaround. And that's always like one of the greatest things to sell in college football recruiting.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like I mentioned with the honeymoon period, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the staying powers in college football right now, they're selling NFL development. They're selling a potential to win a college football championship. The Texases, the schools with new head coaches, they have to sell being a part of a revolution of sorts, right? Or being a part of a turnaround. And I think that's a big selling point for Steve Sarkisian. It's going to be a rebirth for him as well, and getting kind of a fresh start, getting a new look on things at a head coaching position. And I think it's going to be pretty important. I do feel like it's a fit not only for him, but it's a fit for Texas, and I think it's going to be a really good marriage. I'm really interested to see how everything shakes out. I know you were really tuned in and really in tune with kind of what was happening under Tom Herman, losing recruiting battles, maybe not developing players on the field as maybe you would hope that a program like Texas would be able to develop players. What's one thing that you feel Sarkisian needs to do on top of recruiting in state that can propel him forward and really get this program over the hump?
They've got to win up front. They've just lost too much on the offensive line. And specifically in 2021, where Texas was loaded with offensive line prospects, whether it be Tommy and James Brockermeyer, who were legacies to Texas, ended up in Alabama, Donovan Jackson going to Ohio State, Ruben Fothery going to Texas A&M, and Texas A&M winning the lion's share of big-name recruits in-state on the offensive line. They've got to turn things around there. I think that's really the biggest thing. But what I'm most interested in is to see how involved Steve Sarkisian is as a head coach recruiter, because talking to people around the program, talking to recruits, it was very clear. I was told by a number of kids over the years that, we really love Texas, but that's where we wanted to be. We really had a great relationship with the position coach who was recruiting us, but we never felt like we knew Tom Herman. We felt like we knew Lincoln Riley. We felt like we knew Jimbo Fisher. We felt like we knew Ed Orgeron. I mean, those guys called us regularly, but, we never really spoke to Tom Herman that much. So I'd like to see, it was said to me by an assistant one day that, a head coach has to recruit on the daily. And that's what a guy like Nick Saban does. It's what a guy like Lincoln Riley does. It's what a guy like Ryan Day does. But, I think Herman saw himself as more of a closer. Why don't you guys get him to the finish line and I'll get him over the finish line type of thing. And in the end, it just didn't work out. And, you know, the other thing I think I would point out, too, is I'd like to see him get a little more aggressive on offers. I think there is a natural tendency to say this is the University of Texas and we want our offer to mean something. And, you know, we only offer the best. But dynamics of recruiting have changed. And I think that too many times I've heard from kids, I really wanted to go to Texas, but they just offered me too late. You know, it was just way too many. So I'll be interested to see kind of how the overall recruiting philosophy changes in the next couple months here.
Yeah, I think that method is an appropriate one if you're winning championships, right? And you can offer late and jump into a recruitment late. But if you're always going to be in those battles, a lot of the time being there early is going to matter a lot. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Steve Sarkisian is able to do in his first few months here at Texas. We're going to be back with more from Mike Roach here on the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
Citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast. I am Blair Angulo. I just wanted to remind you guys to listen to the College Football Daily Podcast hosted by Trey Scott, as well as Late Kick with Josh Pate, both podcasts on the 24/7 Sports Network. They are all very football oriented. You're obviously listening to a football recruiting podcast. And so if you want to get the full slate of things, make sure you can find those by searching College Football Daily and Late Kick with Josh Pate over at your favorite podcast platforms. Now, Mike, the big thing for Texas to kick off this week after Steve Sarkisian landed in Austin was to pick up a commitment. We touched on him earlier, Armani Winfield, a 2022 four-star wide receiver, 6'2", 180 from Louisville, Texas, a top 100 player in the 2022 class, according to the composite, number 12 wide receiver in the country early on in the rankings. Obviously, very highly touted and highly regarded. What has stood out to you about Winfield and his potential in college and beyond?
Winfield plays at Louisville High School here in the Dallas area, so I'm very familiar with him. He's been a starter there since his freshman year. And, you know, what really stands out to me is, you know, long frame and a really polished route runner. He works with Margin Hooks, who formerly played at BYU and played in the NFL and is one of the most well-regarded receiver trainers in the state of Texas. And, you know, he's just really polished in the way he can run routes and create separation. Natural hands catcher. It could get over the top of guys. And, you know, he's 6'2", but really long arms and long torso and all those sorts of things. So, you know, I think he's really well put together. He's a guy that, look, we thought he was going to commit to Texas back last summer. He's actually really close with Quinn Ewers. They live in neighboring suburbs and talk to each other a lot. And so when Quinn originally committed to Texas, I think Armani was supposed to be next. And, you know, when Quinn decommitted, that kind of slowed everything down. But he kept in contact with Andre Coleman, the Texas wide receivers coach who's being retained. And, you know, through it all, saw all he needed to see in a half of football on Monday night and called Andre Coleman and told him he wanted to commit. And I think with Steve Sarkisian after the game to officially take that commitment.
Yeah. Imagine being a receiver and watching that game and watching what Devontae Smith was doing and knowing that you had an offer from the coach that's basically calling those plays. I think, you know, that kind of speaks for itself, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of what Armani said was, look, this guy knows how to get playmakers the ball, and that's what kind of stood out to him. And I think, man, I just can't say it enough. I know I've mentioned it a couple times, but, you know, you always get the new coach bump in recruiting, but rarely do you get to show it off, like what you can do before you are the head coach in one last nationally televised game. And I think at least for a little bit.
What a great advertisement that was, right? On Monday night, everyone's tuned in and you can kind of get a feel for what he wants that offense to look like in Austin. One key component of that offense potentially could be LJ Johnson. He's one of the top uncommitted prospects heading into the traditional signing day next month. He's a four-star running back from Cypress, Texas. I think the number two available player behind the number one prospect, JT Tuimoloau, a top 50 prospect nationally. What's the latest on LJ Johnson and what's your feel about him and his potential future at Texas?
Yeah, so it's a really fascinating recruitment right now because LJ is one of the quietest kids in the state of Texas and has, you know, for I guess the last month kind of cut off communication with the media. We've pretty much been going through his dad. So the feel and by the way, he also graduated early, even though he didn't sign early. So the what we know is, at least his intentions are, to pick a school and just enroll within the next week or two without any real fanfare or major announcement. So, you know, everybody's head's on a swivel a little bit, trying to find out what we can. I think at last check, you know, Texas has kind of always held an advantage in this race. There was a time back in September where we thought it was going to be official. And then I think he pushed some things back and, you know, we get to now, and it was all a question of, is Stan Drayton, the running backs coach who was recruiting him, going to be retained by Steve Sarkisian? He was, so that was big for him as well. And the feeling always was he could have committed to A&M at any point in time. And that's really who, I mean, the other schools in his top five are definitely in it, but this really feels like it's coming down to an in-state battle between Texas and Texas A&M. And so, yeah, Texas always kind of held an edge, but in the last week, you know, A&M's really pushed back on the momentum. Where LJ Johnson's from in the Houston area, Cypress is a very, very heavy A&M area. It's probably about an hour and 10 minutes from College Station. So he's getting a lot of pressure to go to A&M as well. I think he really likes his relationship with Drayton. He really likes the business school at Texas. So there's a little bit of a split there. I do think he is truly torn. You know, right now my crystal ball's still on Texas until I hear something different. But yeah, it's definitely up in the air right now.
That's going to be one to definitely monitor heading into February's signing day, that first Wednesday of February. Mike, before we let you go, I know in the past when you've been on the show, we've maybe teased potential taco destinations for us here in Southern California. College football or high school football isn't back yet. We don't know if it's going to be even played this winter or this spring, but you've been pretty busy. Last weekend, you were at the Pylon All-American Experience there in the Dallas area. I know off air, we were talking a little bit about how cool that was for some of the 2021 prospects that haven't had a season to finally go out and compete and do some stuff competitively and maybe win a trophy here or there and just, you know, kind of get back out there and play a little bit. I mean, there weren't really any scholarships to be gained from this for the older players, but I'm sure it was still a fulfilling experience for a lot of them.
Yeah, you know, I think the worst, I mean, we can all agree this class has had it the worst as far as recruiting goes. I mean, no official visits, no opening, no big camps, anything like that, and which are all a big part of, you know, these highly ranked kids' life. It's what they strive for. It's what they work for. And you know, you know how much fun those kids have being down at Under Armour or the All-American Bowl or something like that. And so I think that the aim from Pylon, who's one of the leading 7-on-7 operators in the country, was to kind of give these kids an experience that they would have at an All-American game. So they flew them down, they gave them some gear, you know, they got to go do some activities and things like that. And then on Sunday at AT&T Stadium in Dallas, they were able to play a four-quarter, 7-on-7 game. And it was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, watching those kids just be able to go out there and have a lot of fun with it. And, you know, and they surrounded it with a tournament as well. So, like, I called it it was funny that it was kind of the first chapter in 2021 for this next class that's going into their, you know, junior and senior seasons. And it was the last chapter for a lot of these guys that was signing. And there were some fairly big names there. J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan signee. Drake May, the North Carolina quarterback. I'm trying to think who else. Christian Dixon, who's going to Michigan from out in California. And then our guy Titus Blair. I'm not going to.
All right. I got you. We're going to the bullpen here. Titus Mokiao Atimalala. And he was flanked by his Hawaii teammate, Wyndon Ho Huli, who's headed to Nebraska.
And both of them, I got to talk to both kids because you asked me to check with Titus after the game and just get some audio for you. Two of the nicest kids I've ever talked to in my life, really respectful kids. And I'm going to be a huge fan of both of them and watching their college careers, no matter where they go, just off that interaction. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think a lot of people got out. You know, we got to be careful, right? Because we still want to take precautions with COVID and all those sorts of things to make sure. But it did feel like a little bit of a sense of normalcy for almost the first time in a year. So it was just back to being at a big tournament and talking to a ton of people and gathering a lot of thoughts and insight and news and things like that. So it was a really good event.
Let's hope it's the start of a normalcy and a normal 2021 for us in the recruiting industry as we hopefully get out to events and see some of these recruits in person, you know, compete and you know, potentially continue to garner attention. Mike, thank you so much for joining us as always.
No problem. And I did have the great Brandon Huffman on our podcast last week, The State of Recruiting, to talk about Steve Sarkisian. And we are dreaming of a reunion at Tacos El Gordo in Las Vegas for Pylon. So we've got to all three make that happen at some point.
Oh, boy. Well, if we do, we're going to have to document it and then discuss it on this podcast as
well. All right. Thanks a lot, Blair.
All right. That is Mike Roach. You can follow him on Twitter at MikeRoach247. You could even send him maybe some maintenance suggestions for that playoff beard he's got going on. Thank you so much for tuning in to us this week. Remember to subscribe, rate us, and review us. If you leave a 5-star review with a recruiting question, you've got a chance to have it answered on an upcoming mailbag episode. That'll do it for us. Check back with us next week. Enjoy the next weekend of the NFL football playoffs.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount+, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.